is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
This hour is brought to you by Mesa Good Health, a good business, and great schools. This is not Steve Gruber. This is Katie Hyde. Has been all week long sitting in the chair for Steve, but of course he'll be back Monday and he'll love to hear from you. And I'm sure that he will have a lot on his mind. I mean, he has had a week where he hasn't talked to you and hasn't heard from you. And I'm sure that he will be overflowing with tidbits of information to share with you and all of his thoughts that he brings to you on Common Sense Radio. And so it will be great to have him back. It's 7:07 and our number here is 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Steve always does this free for all Friday, and I am happy to extend that to you. So if you have a thought or an opinion or something that you need to vent or you're confused about, this is the place where you can do that. This is the forum for you. So give us a call, 888-900-9966. I'm wondering what your plans are for the weekend. We've got 7 days until Christmas, if you can believe it. And how's underneath your tree looking? Is your tree even up? That's something to think about. Is it up and it doesn't have the decorations on it, or do you feel behind? A lot going on. It's 7 days till Christmas. Have you even done your shopping yet? Maybe that's what you have in store this weekend, or perhaps you have some family parties. I'm getting mine started this weekend and I'm looking forward to that. I haven't looked this forward to a weekend in a long time. Doing this show has been amazing and challenging and exhausting, and I'm really looking forward to the weekend, and I know that you will be excited to have Steve back on Monday. So give him a good report, will you? Headed to the news desk here. Thursday on CBS This Morning, Defense Secretary Ash Carter explained why he used his personal email to send non-classified information to his staff. Ash Carter says he didn't use the account for classified information. Hillary Clinton faced heavy criticism for using her personal email when she was Secretary of State, and she faced subsequent congressional hearings. The Carter news broke during his announcement, and let's hear from him.
What I did that I shouldn't have been doing until a few months ago was occasionally use my iPhone to send administrative messages, no classified information and backed up as records, but to my immediate staff. And even that I shouldn't have been doing. And when I realized that, I stopped. But this is, I have to hold myself to absolutely strict standards in terms of cybersecurity and doing things that are appropriate. I didn't in this case. It's a mistake, and it's entirely my own.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter explaining there why he used his personal email to send non-classified information to his staff. He says he did not use the account for classified information, but I have to say, in listening to that, in an age of technology and iPhones and the kind of technology that we have before us, there's going to be greater accountability that we require, not just from ourselves, but certainly from our elected officials and people that we have put in positions of power to use the correct protocol and to use and be held to an accountable standard. So it will be interesting to see how all of this plays out. And I think that that affects the presidential election as well. What kind of, to use President Barack Obama's word, transparency, are we going to see from candidates? And that can be done through this kind of protocol that we are asking of our elected officials. Moving on, former hedge fund manager and pharmaceutical company CEO Martin Scorelli was arrested Thursday for fraud. A prosecutor says he used drug company assets to pay off investors in a failed hedge fund.
Today, this office and the FBI are announcing the arrests this morning of Martin Scorelli and Evan Grable and the unsealing of a 7-count indictment charging Scorelli with securities fraud, conspiracy, securities fraud, and wire fraud conspiracy, and Grable with wire fraud conspiracy. Now, the defendant, Shkreli, is charged in all seven counts of our indictment for orchestrating three interrelated schemes, two involving two different hedge funds that he ran, that he founded and he managed, and the third involving Retrofin Incorporated, a publicly traded company that Shkreli founded and at one point controlled as its chief executive officer. Shkreli started out with a hedge fund in 2009 called MSMB Capital, and he took in approximately $3 million from eight investors based upon lies that he told them about his prior performance as a portfolio manager, the amount of assets under the fund's management, and the oversight of the fund by independent auditors. But when he lost the $3 million that he'd gotten through a series of bad trades, he didn't tell his investors that he lost their money. Instead, Shkreli started a new hedge fund, which you'll see, called MSMB Healthcare, which he founded in 2011. The message is that we'll be tireless, this office, the FBI, our partners in the SEC, and our efforts to uncover your schemes. No matter how sophisticated, no matter how long it takes, we will bring you to justice.
That's a prosecutor explaining former hedge fund manager and pharmaceutical company CEO Martin Shkreli. The charges brought against him as he was arrested Thursday for fraud. And at the London premiere of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, returning stars Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill talk about reprising their iconic roles while George Lucas discusses handing over the director reins to J.J. Abrams. Let's hear from them.
Chewie, we're home.
I feel privileged to be involved in Star Wars. I have from the very beginning. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to come back and do it again. You know, I've seen Mark and Carrie from time to time in the intervening years. It was good to be back.
What are you bringing to Luke now? Where is he at in his head, at least?
Well, you have to wait and see. That's part of the mystery. So, but I did say, let's keep it age appropriate. I mean, for God's sakes, I said, look, heavy on the, easy on the lightsaber duels, heavy on the Jedi mind tricks. That I can do. This I can do.
Well, I was ready to do it. I was ready to move on. I didn't want Star Wars to be the rest of my life, and that's what it would have been. And I wanted to make sure it got launched properly and could go on. And I say, now maybe it'll go on for 50 or 100 years. I didn't want somebody trying to sort it out after I'm dead.
You're hearing from the stars of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, there at the London premiere. And did you go see this movie? Have you seen it yet? No spoilers, please. No spoilers for those of us that haven't seen it. But maybe you were up at the late showing last night and are just now waking up. What did you think of it? I'm sure your friends will be asking you, but they don't want to hear all of the plot giveaways. So if you didn't see it last night, are you planning on going this weekend? Because I am. And if you go, will you be decked out with your Star Wars outfit and your lightsabers? Of course you will. This hour brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. It's 7:14. You're listening to Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
The Steve Gruber Show. I'm Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network, filling in for him all this week. And this is, of course, today. And glad that you are with us. I'm reading an article from themilitarytimes.com, and this is what it says there. Russia's strategic nuclear forces chief says its new weapons will be capable of neutralizing any potential missile defenses. Russia's strategic missile forces commander said Wednesday in remarks carried by the Russian news agencies that the nation's military planners have taken into account the emerging potential of NATO's U.S.-led missile defenses. Yikes, this is a lot to break down, and I need help doing that. That's why we have on the line Michaela Dodge. She specializes in missile defense, weapons modernization, and arms control as the policy analyst for defense and strategic policy at the Heritage Foundation. Michaela, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you help break this issue down for us?
So basically what the Russians are saying is we, Russia, can blackmail you whenever we want with our nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles because we can reach you and you have no way to defend yourself. And unfortunately, for now, that's true. But I think it's very important that we change that in the future.
What does this mean for the U.S. then in terms of our relationship with them or stepping up our strategy?
For the United States, it's really not news. Russia has always been able to overcome U.S. missile defense system. We have chosen to limit our missile defenses in a way that would not be capable to address Russian ballistic missiles, be it because of quantity, be it because of quality, number of warheads. But it is a real problem because Russia has shown that it's willing to threaten us with nuclear attacks.
And what, having this knowledge, what could be the impact of that or the ripple effect? What are we looking at?
Basically, what Russia is doing, what nuclear forces are to Russia, is sort of this big blanket under which it can blackmail our allies, it can conduct conventional operations in places like Ukraine, it can threaten to escalate conflicts, and that's a very difficult problem for us because we don't have same interests as Russia, and in fact, our interests are quite contrary to the Russians. So we will have to reassess our strategic relationship with Russia. We will have to reassess our missile defense plans, and we will have to take into account Russia's aggressive actions.
This seems reminiscent of the Cold War. Is this like a new Cold War era that we're coming into?
It is not Cold War as we know it. It is a different stage of conflict. But, of course, we know that history informs the way conflicts unfold in the future. So, you know, there are a little flashback moments when that sounds very familiar to us and to people who have worked Russian issues for a long time.
What kind of power hold does this give Putin? Does this give him more or less power?
Again, Russia has always had this capability, so it doesn't really change in terms of more or less power. But he is playing Russia's hand very well in terms of their nuclear weapons. And unfortunately, with the reset policy, we kind of set ourselves up for failure in our relationship with Russia. So again, we will have to reassess what Russia stands for, what kind of relationship we want to have, and what kind of power we want to give to Russia.
What kind of effect does this have on NATO?
On NATO, the situation is very difficult because some allies are more vulnerable and are targets of Russian threats more often than others. And so what Russia has been doing is it's been trying to split NATO and trying to split European states and tip them against each other and against the United States. It's very important that the United States maintains engaged in Europe, that it provides that source of unity for the Europeans. And I think that's going to be objective of our policy in the years ahead.
Well, that's kind of along the lines of my next question here. How are the countries in that region reacting to this?
They are worried. They're increasing their defense budgets. They are looking for the U.S. leadership. They want the United States present. And initially, the administration did a very poor job with European NATO allies. But the Russian actions showed that getting U.S. disengaged is not a way to go. It creates more dangerous environment, more unstable environment for both the United States and our allies.
How would you alluded to that a little bit. How would you assess the job that the U.S. has done so far?
Oh, so far, we have done very poor job in terms of managing our relationship with the Russians. We have done poor job in terms of arms control with Russians. We are doing kind of a medium job on missile defense where we are proceeding with the missile defense program, but not in a way that would in any shape or form impact Russia's strategic calculus. And, you know, there are many bad things happening around the world that eventually will have impact on us.
And what might that impact be?
So we've seen infiltration of ISIS in the United States. We are seeing more unstable, more dangerous Middle East. We are seeing problems in Syria. Syria that used to have chemical weapons or has chemical weapons. Where do these weapons go? Who has them? Who possesses them? All of these questions have a significant impact in terms of where these weapons emerge, who will be their target, and the U.S. Is a potential target. It always is.
Michaela Dodd, she specializes in missile defense, weapons modernization, and arms control for the Heritage Foundation. Michaela, thank you so much for being with us and breaking this down.
Thank you so much, and happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday, and Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
It's 7:25. You're listening to Katie Hyde on The Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
It's 33 past the hour. And this hour of the Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. As always, we want to hear from you, and our number here is 888-900-9966. I'm Katie Hyde filling in for Steve Gruber. I'm looking at an article from the Triad Business Journal, and it says this: the anticipation is over. The Federal Reserve decided Wednesday that it was time to raise interest rates. The Federal Open Market Committee unanimously voted to set the new target range for the federal funds rate at 0.25% to 0.5%, up from 0 to 0.25%. It's the first time there's been a rate increase since 2006, and the hype around the hike has been intense. With me on the line to help break this down and help us understand this is U.S. Representative Bill Huizenga. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Katie. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Now, what does this mean? Can you help us understand this and break this down?
Well, we have gone into an era of artificially low interest rates through something called quantitative easing. And I chair the Monetary Policy and Trade Subcommittee, and I've been trying to unravel this in my own head for a very long time of understanding exactly what the goal is, which is to kickstart the economy, but disagreeing with maybe the cure on how to do this. And what the Fed finally did was take a step towards normalizing interest rates again. And I think that's a positive. And frankly, if they had not done this, there would have been a bigger surge in the market of confusion and upheaval than if they had actually did what they actually just did the other day and moved forward with this. So what this means is that there's going to be the lending rate between banks is what's going to be the sort of the immediate effect, but it is a very small sliver. And rather than having a ramp up that's predicted, which used to be what it is, it looks like they're going to do this one small step and then just kind of wait and see what's going to happen.
And you mentioned normalizing interest rates. So what kind of impact does that have to the everyday guy that's rushing around, taking his kids to school, going to work, living life? What kind of impact does that have on them?
Yeah, there's two sides of that. One is interest rates, potentially interest rates that we all pay for, whether it's a car loan, our mortgage, credit card interest rates, anything with an interest rate, right? It looks like that will be fairly small, if any kind of impact there, because that really what we're talking about is this Fed funds rate, this rate that the federal government and banks use to lend money back and forth. The other side of this is the investment. As we all know, especially folks that are older and lived on fixed income, they have seen horrible returns on their investments, bonds and those kinds of things. So we may see a little uptick in that, but again, this is a pretty small move in the marketplace. But I think it's just a trend or a step towards just returning to normalization, which it needs to be a key goal here.
If these are small steps, what are some of the future moves that we might look at as well?
Well, traditionally what the Fed used to do is they would have this be a series of steps either up or steps down. And that's what we saw starting in 2006 was a ramping down of those interest rates. The difference now is that since we've been in this artificially low era, there's a lot of debate about what direction we should go. And frankly, this is the first time in sort of modern economic era that we've been going in opposite direction where the rest of the world is. The Japanese Central Bank, European Central Bank, China, they've all been dropping their interest rates, and we are now bucking that trend and bringing it back up. But rather than having this ramp up or this ramp down, it looks like our Fed is going to take one small step, this, and then just sort of wait, see what happens, if there's any kind of impact domestically or internationally. So I would expect that there's going to be a lot of talk about this on Wall Street, because those small moves affect those guys in New York way more typically than it does sort of us on Main Street. And we got to make sure that we're not focused on what those guys on Wall Street want. We need to make sure that we're focusing on what the people on Main Street need and what's going to be the most healthy thing to do for our economy.
Congressman, we were speaking with your colleague yesterday on the show, Congressman Tim Walberg, and he was giving some of his thoughts on the budget bill. And to him, it seemed like a bit of a mixed bag. He said that you got some of what you being Republicans, or he said we got some of what we wanted, but not everything that we wanted. And I'm wondering what your takeaway is on the budget.
Yeah, ugly. And unfortunately, what we're dealing with is a mess that Speaker Ryan had no hand in creating, but it is his responsibility to clean it up. And that's a frustration for a lot of us because we have not gone through the regular order, the way that constitutionally things are supposed to happen. And a lot of that centered on the Senate. Harry Reid had said there was no chance that he was going to allow House appropriations bills to move forward in that regular order. And so here we are, stuck at the end of the year with this choice of either not funding the Defense Department, not funding our Homeland Security, not funding all these critical things that need to happen, or moving forward with this compromise bill. And there were a couple of good things for us in Michigan. Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, what dredges our harbors and keeps the pierheads maintained and that kind of thing. That's something I've worked on long and hard for a number of years. We have secured agreements that they're actually going to use all that money for harbor maintenance. It's amazing. They used to raid that fund and use it for other things. There's some very important agricultural issues that are addressed in this. There's a number of, I would say, important but kind of lower profile things like that that are in it. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with a pretty ugly document. But I'm looking to try to make sure that as we move forward in a Paul Ryan speakership and with his leadership, that things are done a very different way, and that's his desire. You know, he's had 6 weeks of cleaning up basically what was a 10-month mess preceding it. So it's going to be tough, but we've got to figure out a way how we're going to return to regular order.
And Congressman Heising, just briefly, what kind of job do you think that Speaker Ryan, how do you think he's doing there? What's your assessment?
Yeah, again, you know, he stepped in. He stepped in at kind of the last minute to do this. But here's what I always say about Paul: nobody knows the issues on a deeper level than he does. As a former staffer, as a backbencher, as someone who chaired the Budget Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, he knows the federal budget inside and out. Secondly, he's a strategic thinker. He's the type of guy who's playing three-dimensional chess, trying to figure out how to move things around and maximize his advantage. The third thing, though, is he's a good communicator. He's not afraid to go out and talk to the people who may be blasting him or may be disagreeing with him. And that, I think, has been vital as well, as we've been lacking communicating what that House vision and what that Republican-conservative vision is.
Congressman
and,
Bill,
the guy to do that.
Congressman Bill Heising, I hate to cut you off. It's always a good
That's
chat.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us,
Katie.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's 7:41. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, George Lucas made the first Star Wars film and laughed his way all the way to the bank. And then the other five films did really well, too. Of course, it's Star Wars weekend. I'm Katie Hyde filling in on The Steve Gruber Show. And with me this morning is Ron Van Timmeren. He's from Celebration Cinema in Lansing. And Ron, may the force be with you, man.
And the force be with you, Katie. Happy Star Wars weekend.
Yes, happy Star Wars weekend. Hey, tell us about last night. What was it like? What was the mood?
Oh, man, it is so cool to watch an audience that's full of people anticipating this, you know, for how many years, to when that Star Wars logo hits the screen and the John Williams fanfare hits. It was cheering, clapping, hooting. People love the movie and just loved having a good time last night. I know Celebration Cinema sold almost 20,000 tickets just last night alone,
Wow. And
there's still plenty of seats available for today.
Well, and that was my next question is, how are ticket sales for the rest of the weekend? I mean, if we're sitting there thinking, oh, my word, I forgot, what kind of availability is there?
Pretty wide open. I mean, there are some popular times, like IMAX screen is a tight, hot ticket. And so, you know, buying in advance online, reserving your seat, that's the way to go. But we have so many screens and so many show times. They're still wide open today, tomorrow, and through the weekend. We are not all sold out. Some people think that, but it's not true.
Good to know. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the camaraderie that comes with a big opening of a big film like this, because it seems like it's one big party. Everybody's there. Everybody becomes fast friends for the 2 hours that the film is there. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, that is amazing to see people dressing up, people bringing their kids. You know, we've got a new generation of Star Wars fans that are being treated to what I think is the best of the Star Wars movies because, it, you know, like one reviewer said, a half a reboot, half a remake, all fun. You know, they kind of went back to the formula of The New Hope or Episode 4. They kind of rebooted some Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. You've got Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill all back, and then you've got new characters like Rey and Finn and Poe and a new little droid, which, of course, is selling merchandise like crazy, that little BB-8. A lot of fun and comedy in this movie.
Good to know, and I think it's so neat. It's like melding childhood, so we have all these adults going in there. And did you see quite a few lightsabers last night? Some costumes?
Lightsabers, that's right. That was the only sort of prop theaters are allowing in. We don't want people dressing up in full costumes, covering their faces and carrying bags or anything
Absolutely. Like
that. But if you bring your lightsaber, that's pretty benign. And we did see some dress-up costumes, especially on the kids. It was so fun to see and just a very festive mood at the theaters.
Right. Perfectly executed Chewbacca roar. There it is.
I can't do it.
It's too early in the morning to pull that off.
Right. They're tracking this to do 200, maybe 220, 230 million this weekend, smashing all records. But like I say, there are still tickets available.
Wow. And it is nice to kind of meld the childhood of adults and kind of take that next generation and share it with their kids. I know we didn't make it last night because that is too late for me, but we're taking our kids this weekend and we want to experience it as a family. So it's great to kind of see the two generations sharing in that. Did you see a lot of families there last night?
Amazing. I was surprised how young some people thought to bring their kids, and it's really a pretty mild PG-13. I mean, you know, from your experience watching Star Wars, there's some, you know, intense action and fighting sequences
Sure.
and all that, but overall, it wasn't real scary. Certainly, there's no language in this movie, so it's just that that sort of Star Wars violence that you have to prepare your kids for.
Now, for those out there that are saying, dude, I am not into Star Wars, what else is playing at Celebration Cinema this weekend?
Yeah, little counter-programming, including Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, certainly going for the female crowd that doesn't do Star Wars. This is a very funny movie. I enjoyed more watching the audience laugh like crazy from start to finish in this movie. Very R-rated, very dirty. You have to be ready for that. If you like movies like Trainwreck, then you're going to love Sisters. And then, for families who are not doing Star Wars, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip, that is also opening this weekend, and that little counter-programming for kids.
Good to know. Now, that Sisters movie with Tina Fey, between you and me and the folks listening, my dream job, even though I love it here at the Steve Gruber Show, don't get me wrong, I love Steve, my dream job would be collaborating with Tina Fey. How awesome would that be?
I know, and it was the two of them together are just hilarious, and they've got a team of writers that came up with a storyline and jokes that are just rolling the aisles. I mean, they're really very talented. I mean, you can like Amy Schumer all you want, but give me Tina Fey and Amy Poehler any day.
I agree. Now, those that say, "Hey, I celebrate Christmas Day with my family. We open the gifts, and then we stare at each other and say, we don't know what else to do." What's showing on Christmas Day that would be good to catch?
Well, yeah, thanks for asking. The next week, Wednesday, The Big Short with Brad Pitt, Christian Bale, Steve Carell, and Ryan Gosling. On Christmas Day, Will Smith's new movie, Concussion. Daddy's Home with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Joy, which stars Jennifer Lawrence, but they're reuniting the cast of Silver Linings Playbook. And also Point Break opening up on Christmas Day. Yeah, I mean, it's ho, ho, ho. Oh, Merry Christmas from Hollywood.
Sounds like it. Now, no spoilers, Ron, but was the movie, the Star Wars one, was it worth the hype?
Oh, my gosh, yes, and more. I mean, yes, there's something very interesting that happens that I haven't heard reported yet that you're going to go, oh, my gosh, but I'm not going to tell you what it is, and it definitely lived up to the hype and more.
Well, good to know, and stay off social media until you see the full film, right?
You know what? I think the fans will keep it a secret, and everybody's going to get a big kick and a big jolt this weekend seeing Star Wars.
That sounds great. Ron Van Timmeren with Celebration Cinema in Lansing. Thanks so much for joining us, Ron, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. See you at the movies.
This is Katie Hyde with the Michigan Talk Network filling in on the Steve Gruber Show.